Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 199 of CJ Evolution. Pat Fitzgibbons, host and creator of the show. Whatever you are doing, wherever you are at, thank you for tuning in one more to the Big 200. Thanks to you, the listener and supporter, thank you for supporting and listening to the podcast and sharing it with family and friends. Special thanks to all those first responders out there, brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, doing a very difficult job in a very difficult environment. You have much support. I'm so excited to be partnered with 4Sigmatic. If you don't know what this company does, they make some amazing products. And at 4Sigmatic, their mission is simple. Make the everyday magic of functional mushrooms more easily accessible to you. You might be thinking, mushrooms, what the heck is this guy talking about? I'm talking about mushroom coffee, folks. The company does this by incorporating functional mushrooms, very healthy mushrooms. No, not the ones that make you trip out and see pink elephants. I'm talking about the healthy mushrooms. They make this functional mushrooms and superfoods into products you use every day, such as coffees, hot cocos, mochas, elixirs, and easy-to-mix blends. If you head over to the CJ Evolution website, that's cjevolution.com, you'll see a link to 4Sigmatic. If you follow that link and try out these amazing products, you'll get 15% off of your purchase. Trust me, folks, you will not be disappointed. You know, we all know working in the criminal justice field, the difficulty and stress we face every day. Sometimes I think we forget that our loved ones, the people at home, have to endure long hours of being alone and the same stress sometimes we endure as criminal justice professionals. My next guest is an amazing guest, amazing woman who's been married to a law enforcement professional for about 30 years. And she's written a couple books about being married to somebody in law enforcement from the spouse perspective. And it's a great interview because, again, it talks about her perspective and some of the challenges that face law enforcement spouses. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have Victoria Newman on the show. Victoria, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for being here. I know you're very busy. I gave a little bit of an intro, but can you fill in the gaps?
Well, what I do is it started about 7 years ago. I basically wrote my story as a cop wife in a book called Chip on My Shoulder, and it all of a sudden went across the United States, and I'm getting letters and different things.
Yeah.
So that started into How to Love Your Cop, which is it's been an organization of sorts and is soon to be a nonprofit. We have our tax exemption status pending. And we've expanded. I brought on other ladies, and so we're moving.
Mm-hmm. And what was the catalyst, Victoria? And thank you for what you're doing, because I think it's much needed out there. Mm-hmm. It takes a special spouse to be married to, whether you're a female officer or a male officer. It takes a special kind of spouse. You know that to be married to a law enforcement professional. What was the catalyst for you to start writing, you know, and start your website? What was it?
Well, it was, I knew from the beginning, because I saw my husband change. We got married before he became an officer, and he changed shortly thereafter. I noticed some different things once he became a police officer. And so for 30 years, or actually at that point it was 20, we were just, you know, kind of making it work and working hard at our marriage and balancing career and parenting and community service and all kinds of stuff. And then in about 2005, 2006, the California Highway Patrol, who my husband is with, we experienced a growing number of suicides during the time of which we were losing several officers from line of duty deaths. Mm-hmm. I think we lost 6 in about 4 months, and it was all over the holidays. And then our suicides in our department alone was increasing in frequency. And one evening, I remember vividly, my husband got a text and he had heard of one more suicide. It was the 15th in a rapid succession. And I was upset. I was so upset. And I just remember, you know, yelling and saying, "What are we doing? Mm-hmm. What are we doing?" And what I was talking about is, what are we as the CHP doing? Mm-hmm. But what it became was a self-fulfilling prophecy in that, what can I do? And one of the things that I learned was that one of the last things to happen before an officer will commit suicide is the loss of a significant relationship. Mm-hmm. And I've seen many marriages just end over the years in law enforcement. And I've seen how it's difficult for my husband and I as well. And I thought, you know, I've always wanted to be a writer. Maybe I could write my story and, you know, I'll bring over some wives, feed them dinner, see what they have to say, and I'll put it out in a book. And that's how it started. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you talked about it, because, I mean, obviously I'm a cop, you know that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've seen myself change, Victoria, since I've been doing it, not as long as you're. And thank you for your husband's service, by the way. But I've seen myself change too. You know, you go through good and bad times, you know that. But yeah. What specifically, when you said you saw your husband change, how was he changing? If you could elaborate a little bit on that.
Well, we were really young at the time.
That's a lot to take on as a young married couple. 'Cause I've been there. That's a lot to get wrapped around a law enforcement career.
Yes. Yeah. I grew up in Chico, which is Northern California. So it was a small town at the time. It's a lot bigger now, but we headed down to LA for our first 5 years. And so he was out on the streets working in, you know, LA. Mm-hmm. How I saw him change was, you know, we were fresh-faced and naive, mm-hmm. and he's coming home and telling me stories that really hurt to hear. Mm-hmm. And I could see him get hardened, because when you're looking at things that hurt your soul, mm-hmm. you know, he's a gentle man. He's a kind-hearted person. He cares for people. And when he sees things that people do to each other or do to themselves or lie or, you know, want to hurt people. And he's seen pure evil in his, on the streets. That you got to harden yourself to be able to handle that day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And that's what I saw, was a hardening. And then that, you know, that comes out and just irritation and language and, mm-hmm. and just being extra careful and not going certain places and mm-hmm. being, you know, really hypervigilant out there, just watching.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that affects that, because it's hard to relax, mm-hmm. even off duty.
There's a great author out there, and I don't know if you probably heard of Dr. Kevin Gilmartin.
Oh, yes.
He talks about emotional wellness. That's his book. Mm-hmm. And it just made me think about that. How did you, and I'm assuming your husband's doing better now.
Oh, yeah. He's
100%.
He's great. Yeah. But there's still seasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like with anything. But how did you both work through that difficult time? I mean, I imagine a lot of it was communication and, you know, having interests outside of law enforcement, because that's where I was at, Victoria. I was burned out. I was, you know, frustrated. And I think it really took me kind of changing my mindset a little bit. And, you know, I started getting into meditation. I started surrounding myself with individuals that weren't in law enforcement, you know, mm-hmm. that, because I think, you know, we all get conditioned. You know, if you're not a cop, you're a criminal, or, you know, we got to be suspicious of you. And I think I think what really helped me was my wife, for, you know, who had nothing to do with law enforcement, and she had friends outside. And I'm, you know, I'm on my second marriage, and my second wife didn't have anything to do with law enforcement, and which was, you know, which was good, because, you know, her friends now became my friends, and I got to, you know, see people that weren't associated with law enforcement. And make no mistake, I love my law enforcement brothers and sisters out there, but I think we all need a break from law enforcement. When we come home, we come home, and we spend time with our significant others or our family, and we leave work at work. Now, it gets harder the higher you go up, you know, and you know that with your with the position your husband's in. But how did you get past that part?
We, like you said, communication, and I'll tell you, it's rough at times. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when we are trying to figure out what we're dealing with our own self, as well as, you know, to kind of communicate what we're feeling inside, mm-hmm. instead of just, you know, I'm reacting, or he's reacting to things that we don't understand within each other. And so there's that gap, that language, mm-hmm. Translation that needs to happen. And so there's that early on. We have had both friends in law enforcement and outside. A lot of times our people from our church, mm-hmm. we would get together with them, and, you know, a lot of times they don't get it. And when you're going through really difficult times that only another cop can understand, mm-hmm. that gets a little rough. But I will say that it's good to see that not everybody out there who isn't in law enforcement can, you know, can be a friend and give encouragement and understand. Because even those who, you know, we have several friends who aren't in law enforcement who want to know, mm-hmm. What we're going through, who want when my book came out, several of my family and friends read it, and they were like, wow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And so over the years, you know, with different things, there's no one right formula, but it's about changing attitude and constantly coming back to we and not just me.
Sure.
So being in this together and trying to understand where each other's coming from and giving each other space at times. And that's something that we definitely have had to do trial and error, mm-hmm. and you know, and we're still learning.
Sure.
We've been together almost 30 years and we're still learning.
Well, it's a constant process. It's constant growth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's marriage. I mean, you know, and
yeah,
you have to work on it, especially in jobs, you know, like law enforcement and those high stress jobs. It always amazed, well, I guess it doesn't amaze me that much anymore, but you know how people, they just, they get their take or what they think law enforcement is just off the movies and television shows, and they think, oh, I think it's great. You know, you guys don't do anything. You just drive fast, kick in doors, you know, arrest bad guys. And
yeah, no.
And yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so much more, obviously. I mean, now when you go talk to, when you go, cause you're, I know you're a keynote, you have a keynote and you go talk to people, you do retreat speaking. What do you talk about? I mean, I guess it's tailored to what people want you to talk about, but what's one of your main messages?
One of my main messages is just, really it comes down to attitude. You know, I named my book A Chip on My Shoulder, mm-hmm. not because he has a chip on his shoulder. it's I have to be tough, but I also have to be, I'm a support. Because I mean, when I talk to other cop wives, I talk about how we're backup at home. And,
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, where we're partners. We're partners for life. We're learning how each other, you know, operates and who we are. And but then when we need help, you know, we're each other's backup. We can look. So I'm very big on staying educated, staying mm-hmm. encouraged, and just really striving to stay engaged mm-hmm. as backup, you know. And that there's a lot. I mean, wow, I'd be on here for 3 hours if I went into everything that I talk about. But a lot of it is attitude, and it's about understanding our roles and the significance of being that backup at home.
Yeah. And which is so important, because if you, and you know this, Victoria, if you don't have a healthy home life, you know, it's going to bleed into your personal or your professional,
yes.
You know, your professional life. And I know I went through a period of, you know, with my wife, you know, I would go out and I'd be constantly on my phone. I don't know if you've dealt, answering emails and stuff like that.
Yes.
And, until my wife was like, you know, you need to put your phone away. This is BS. You know, you're out on a date. You need to pay attention to me. And I'm okay. You know, and that's just, you know, one aspect.
Oh, yes. We've had those conversations.
I'm sure you. Now, talk about the books more, because I'm really interested. How many books you have out there?
Well, I have three, but two are for law enforcement families. Mm-hmm. So I have A Chip on My Shoulder, How to Love and Support Your Cop. That is my first book, and then I redid it after 7 years. I learned so much that I added 30,000 words to it. So that just came out at the end of last year, and with the new edition.
Mm-hmm.
And
third edition, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That one is for spouses.
Mm-hmm.
So written by me, and just, you know, I like I said, I went through and asked a whole bunch of people and came up with themes that were not just me, but mm-hmm. everybody. And that continues. I mean, there's not a whole lot that I'm hearing that's new anymore. It's the same thing that we're all going through, no matter where we are in the country, mm-hmm. and actually out of the country as well. It's amazing how many people in Canada and in Australia and in the Philippines who are dealing with the same kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is A Marriage in Progress. And that one is for officers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very difficult to write because I had to educate myself in just talking and to more and more police officers. Not just spouses. I went online and I did a survey and got about 1,000 people who, responded to me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they told me who they were and sometimes they didn't, but, I learned a lot through that. And then, did my own interviews and talked to different people and just did a ton of research. And, it's a big book, but, but it's, for officers, it approaches relationships through police culture and police training.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of similarities that I come alongside the relationship and look at it through police work.
Mm-hmm. And then your third one is Selfish Prayer, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And that's a book that documents the journey of a medevac unit in Afghanistan in 2009, right?
Yes. Yes. And, that was an incredible, incredible experience writing that book.
Mm-hmm.
I really, as a woman talking to primarily men, there were some women too, but, just talking and looking in their eyes and them telling me their stories, I saw firsthand, it was the emotional toll of war.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I began to understand a lot more about post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as, you know, just the different things that happen when they come home. And they were very vulnerable with me, and I really appreciated that. It made for a better book. So that really helped me in what I do with law enforcement as well.
That's great. Now, we talked a little bit about, you know, the importance, very important. I wish we would spend, as a law enforcement community, spend more time. We teach so many, you know this, Victoria, again, we spend so much time covering a variety of topics in the academy, which are important
mm-hmm.
topics. But I wish we would spend more time on how to take care of yourself, both physically and, more importantly, emotionally.
Yes.
Do you think that it's getting better from your point of view? You've talked to a lot of law enforcement families, a lot of law enforcement spouses. I mean, do you think it's getting worse? Do you think we're getting it, that we need to spend more time? Because I think from my point of view, where I'm at in Colorado, I think we're addressing it more. And it's, I'd be interested to see what your take is on this.
Well, definitely better than when I started in the past 7 years. I have a lot of thoughts on this. First of all, the California Highway Patrol, I believe it's been about 2 years ago, they implemented an extra week of stress management in the first week that our cadets report to the academy. And that has changed the new recruits that we have, our new officers that are coming through. I've already seen it just based on what I do with the family panel. So I go the day before graduation and I talk to the families about what they're going to be expecting and, you know, the importance of backup and the importance of support system. And I will just tell you that when I started probably about, I think it's been about 10 years now, we had groups of 30 for these large groups of, it wasn't mandatory. So it was optional. And we'd have maybe 30 spouses in a class of 100. Well, now, since we've implemented the stress management at the beginning of the training, we have 150.
Wow.
I mean, it's incredible. Incredible. There's a, so we're changing, you know, I'm very proud of our, of my husband's department, for implementing that. But I will say on generally, as a law enforcement community across the United States, we're getting there.
I've still got a lot of work to do. I agree.
Still. Yeah. And see, here's the deal. You've got, you know, the, your leadership of your, of the law enforcement. Okay. Most of your leadership, they've been on for 20, 30 years, right? You've still got a lot of old school thinking.
I agree.
And you know that when they were out on the road, you know, they, it takes a lot of years to get up into the, those, you know, upper echelons, as we call it sometimes. When they were on the road, they had to suck it up and deal with it. And they married 2, 3, 4 times. And it just was the way it happened. And so there's, I mean, and, you know, I mean, that's hard to change that experience because experience never goes away from who you are as a person. You know what you know.
Yeah, and but I agree with what you, I agree with all of what you said. And yeah, it's hard to change that mentality. But if you keep up, like you said, Victoria, and I'm a lifelong learner, if you keep up and you keep educating yourself, you know, and which I try to do all the time, you realize that times are changing. Okay.
Yes.
Just because me being a 21 year vet and I had to suck it up when I was going through what I was going through doesn't mean that the next cop has to do it. Now, I mean, this is a hard job regardless. And there is times, you know, where officers are going to have to, quote, suck it up.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't ignore their emotional wellness, you know.
Right.
I mean, now more than ever in this environment we live in where, you know, public, you know, support in law enforcement goes up and down, up and down, up and down. We as senior command level, which I am a senior command level officer, we need to realize we need to take more focus. We need to realize that we need to do more for our officers as far as stress relief. Many departments now, I don't know if it's like this in California. I imagine it is, Victoria. We have, you know, sleep beds and, you know, beds, you know, where, you know, rooms where people, where officers can sleep. You know, I don't know if you probably have those too. I mean, I don't know if your husband probably knows, but I don't know, you know, who can take time off and rest. So that we I think we are changing. I think we need to come. I think we have a long way to go though, but it starts at the top, like you said.
It does. And then just, you know, all the way on down, because as we educate, as we learn, I mean, I tell you, my book's been out for 7 years, and there are still people who says, I have never heard of you. And I'm like, yeah, because it's difficult unless you know where to look. When I wrote my book and I'm looking to market it, I had no idea all of the organizations that were already out there helping people. I had no clue that there were so many. And since then, hundreds and hundreds, and we're getting better and better, and we're learning more and more. And, you know, the veterans that came back from the wars, that helped as well, because all of a sudden we've got a crisis with our soldiers coming back from war. And that takes a toll, and people are looking for answers. And that spilled over, I believe, into law enforcement as well. And then you've got a lot of those returning veterans, they're becoming law enforcement as well. So there's, you know, there's still so much to do, but I am pleased to see the progress that we've made.
Well, we've still got a long way to go, and you're helping with that. Now I want to. You are, and I want to change gears a little bit. Now, what? You're a successful author. I mean, how did you? Have you always had that? You know that you know, writing itch, or what? What? Because a lot of people, they talk about it. They I think everybody has a good book in them. But how did you get? How did you say, you know what? Screw it! I'm going to write a book. Three of them. And did you do it yourself? Did you? I mean, how did you start putting pen to paper? Because a lot of people, Victoria, you know. They talk about writing a book, but you did it. You did it three times. So how did you do it?
Well, I worked at it for a long time. I always used to write poetry as self-expression. That was basically how I made it through my teenage years. And then as I got older, then I would just write things and tried to write a newlywed book. It didn't go anywhere, but I learned, and
that's important.
And then and then after a while, then I started editing other people's books because I do. That's one of the things that I have is I can tell what, you know, I can read a book and go, okay, that's wrong, and this is wrong, and what if you did this? That would make it better. And so I started kind of coming alongside other people who were writing books. In that arena, I would edit and just, you know, kind of come alongside people and help them, ask them questions and help them write it. And then that's about that time after I'd done that several times, I think I probably six or seven books at that point, I finally said, you know what, it's time for my story. And I continue to help others. In fact, I've got several people who are writing in the law enforcement arena right now and helping them with their books now. So that's a little something that I do on the side, because if it's a story that I think that people need to hear, and I'm pretty learned as far as what's out there in the law enforcement community genre, if it's something that I see that is missing or that needs to be out there, then I'll definitely help people for sure.
That is awesome. And any advice for aspiring young author or authors out there that you would give them? Tenacity, maybe?
You know,
I mean, getting up when you think that nobody wants to and keep charging, you know, forward.
Well, it's all the first lesson that I learned, and I learned this early and I needed to learn it. Was I had a truth teller who came, you know, I had a book that I had written and I was all proud of it and everything. And he looked at me and he said, "This is crap." And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because he taught me in a very humbling, if not humiliating way, that it isn't about what I want to say. It's about the reader.
Yeah.
And so that would probably be the best thing, because, you know, there's a lot of people who will write what they want to write, but it has nothing to do with other people.
True.
And if you're going to write a book, think about who's going to read it and write for them.
That's awesome. Victoria, if people listening want to reach out to you and book you for an event, or find your books, how can they find you?
They can find me through my website. It's www.how2loveyourcop.com, how2loveyourcop.com. And I answer all my emails off of that. And, you know, if somebody wants to email me and let me know, I'll be in touch pretty quickly.
And we'll have all your information linked up in the show notes. Victoria, any parting words of wisdom before we end?
Isolation is the enemy. Mm-hmm. If you are in this law enforcement life, whether you are a spouse or a dispatcher or an officer or someone in leadership, it does get it tends to be kind of a lonely road sometimes. But when it feels like there's no one there is when you need to find someone who will be there. Because, you know, that's the one thing about these suicides is if you isolate yourself, you get stuck in your own thoughts. And sometimes all you need is another perspective, someone who's a little bit better equipped to see the situation from a different set of eyes.
Yeah.
And support is just, it's crucial in this life.
Yeah, it is. And thank you so much, Victoria. Thank you for being a strong and enduring law enforcement wife. I mean, it is a very hard job. I remember, you know, when I was in the Army with my wife, and I remember, you know, I was in a rapid deployment unit, and I remember I was trying to, my daughter was about to be born, and I went to one of my first sergeants, and I said, "Hey, you know, my wife's pregnant. I want to be there for my daughter's birth." And he said, "You know, if we wanted you to have a, you know, wife, we would issue you one." And that was that. Yeah, I mean, that was the kind of mentality, you know. And
yeah.
So it takes a very strong, and it's the same in law enforcement. It takes a very strong woman such as yourself to stand by your husband, you know, for 30 years of honorable service in a very, very difficult career, Victoria. So we commend you for that, and we wish you the most success in the future. We'd love to have you back on.
Thank you.
In the future, and I hope everything goes well with your books.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, Victoria. Take care.
You too.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.